Hello, I'm Fidel. Rack of lamb hat, correct?
What about it, fancy pants?
From the Wizards of Waverly Place to being diagnosed with a life-threatening illness to working on the front lines of the pandemic, Jennifer Stone's career has taken her from the stage as an actress to the emergency room as a nurse. It was an unusual career change and one informed by Stone's own health. In 2013, at the age of 20, Stone was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. It was a life-changing diagnosis and one that propelled Stone not only to change her career, but also one that compelled her to make sure people with diabetes get the care they need. And I am delighted to welcome Jennifer Stone to Frank Buckley Interviews. Jennifer, thanks for coming on the show. As you know,
well, thanks so much for having me.
You bet. As you know, November is National Diabetes Month, and as a type 1 dad, my son Ben has type 1 diabetes. I was eager to share your story with our audience, but tell me why you've decided to share your type 1 diabetes story.
You know, it was, to me, it was a no-brainer, just because I remember when I was first diagnosed, I didn't know anybody. I felt really, to be perfectly honest, alone in my diagnosis. And I felt like I didn't have anyone really to go to with kind of the troubleshooting that comes with day-to-day diabetes. And so for me, it was a no-brainer just so I could be honest about, you know, the day-to-day challenges and to make people feel more seen and heard in something that they have to experience throughout their lives.
I don't think many people know the difference between type 1 diabetes, type 2 diabetes. And I know type 1 diabetes intimately because my son has it, and how it's a 24/7 ordeal. I mean, it's something that even while you're asleep, it's something you have to be very much aware of. And I was wondering if you could sort of shorthand that for folks so they can understand the difference between 1 and 2, how you get 1, how you get 2, and what is your life like as someone who has type 1 diabetes?
Thank you for asking that, because we were talking a little bit before about how I'm amazed at how little people know about the difference or about diabetes in general. So type 1 is an autoimmune condition where your body attacks the cells that make insulin. And then type 2 is a metabolic condition where basically the cells that allow insulin to get into your system get exhausted due to overuse. So that's why, like, you know, they think of type 2s as more of like you eat too much of the things you probably shouldn't, and so the cells get more exhausted. And then as far as managing my type 1 on a day-to-day basis, it's some days are good and some days are not so good. I mean, it's a constant balancing act. You know, if the sky is the wrong shade of blue, my blood sugars will be high. You know what I mean? And if I don't get enough sleep, it won't be high. So it's a constant, like, just trying to balance things that sometimes they're in my control and sometimes they're not.
I think some people don't realize as well that type 1 diabetes at any particular moment could actually take your life. It's a life-threatening disease.
Yeah, no, it's definitely something that balancing act, if it gets enough off kilter, can be lethal. And that's something, whether blood sugar is getting too high and getting into something called diabetic ketoacidosis, which is a lot of times how people find out they have type 1, unfortunately, or going too low. And so, no, people don't realize that. And that balancing act is can be critical. And it's really important to keep it as level as we can.
I remember when my son was diagnosed, I thought, okay, he's in great shape. He eats well. I'm sure we can work our way out of this. What are the steps I need to do, or he needs to get involved in, to make sure he no longer has type 1 diabetes? And of course, that's not how it is.
Yeah. My dad, it's funny that you say that, because my dad said the same thing. I remember, because I usually go home, my family's all in Texas, and a few years into my diagnosis, I remember going home for Christmas and my dad's like, "Do you still have that diabetes thing?" I'm like, yeah, dad, I'm still diabetic. It's going to be with me. It's not a come and go kind of thing. But again, that's like part of the need for education is type 2, you can kind of get in remission to where it's not quite as, you know, impactful to your life, and type 1 doesn't quite work that way.
Which is why so many of us are working so hard for a cure and raising money through JDRF and other organizations to try to cure type 1 diabetes. And I feel like we're getting closer. Every year there's developments in technology, and life seems to be getting incrementally better for people with type 1 diabetes in terms of management. And in fact, you're a paid spokesperson for Medtronic, and I was just wondering, is there some sort of device that you believe in through Medtronic?
Yeah, so the reason I started working with them is because there was a device actually before I even got in contact with them that I used and made a big difference for me. Because even though I'm a nurse and I love science, I am not a math person. That was like the one part of science that I'm like, I just don't like it.
Yeah.
Which, you know, with type one, as you know, being a type one dad, like, there's so much math involved. Like, I can't sit down and enjoy a meal because I got to sit and I got to carry the one and like all this stuff before I can even like think about digesting anything.
Yeah.
So what was great is the InPen is this smart pen technology that works with an app on your phone where you work with your endocrinologist, you work with your diabetes educator to put in your preset bolusing numbers. And then once that's done, you just plug in like, oh, I'm having low carb, medium carb, high carb, or exact carb numbers before you eat. And then it tells you exactly what to bolus. Boom, bolus. It logs it automatically for you with Bluetooth. You're done. So it made my life so much easier and it helped me keep a tighter range on things. Hmm. Plus you can do half units, which is a game changer because sometimes you do just half a unit too much and then you go low and then you get into that dangerous hypoglycemic territory. So that half unit too has made a huge difference. It just helped me keep a tighter range. So
I should have backed up because I think people I don't want to get too far into the weeds with people who don't know what type 1 diabetes is, but you, every time you eat or drink anything, you have to give insulin. Why? Why do you have to provide your body with insulin?
Well, because again, type 1 is that autoimmune disorder that attacks the cells that create insulin. So eventually, you don't have any more cells that create insulin. So because my body doesn't naturally make it, I have to inject artificial insulin to do what my body isn't doing. So I don't have any of it naturally, so I have to add it from the outside. Right. Is that a clear way of describing it?
Yes. And okay, just so people know, we need insulin because insulin gets into our cells, opens them up, and allows the energy to get into the cells. Otherwise, your blood sugar, the energy keeps going around in your bloodstream and your blood sugars go higher and higher. I'll ask you that. Mm-hmm. You're the nurse. Did I explain it correctly?
Yeah. No, it's always a challenge between getting, I like how you said into the weeds, but getting into the weeds of like the technical side of it, but also making it clear, you know, but I think that's a good way of like making a very clear description of how it works.
I'm going to get more into your work as a nurse momentarily, but just on type 1 diabetes, my son was diagnosed at 12. It used to be called juvenile diabetes because typically younger people are diagnosed, but there are adults, an increasing number of adults who get diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. You were 20. Tell me about the difference between being diagnosed at your age versus being a young person.
You know, unfortunately, it took me 4 years to be diagnosed correctly and get a proper plan of treatment in place because I was older. I was amazed at how many providers, and some of them in really high positions of like endocrinology and things like that at certain places, you know, had not done continued education of how we're constantly learning about diabetes and how it's evolving and how it's changing. And so because I was 20, I had a lot of people trying to go back and forth between type 1, type 2, because I had type 1 symptoms, but I was older. And I had like one or two type 2 symptoms. So it threw people. So yeah, unfortunately, because I was older, it took like 4 years to get things treated and diagnosed correctly. Mm. But I've seen patients as old as 65 get diagnosed with type 1, which I can't imagine going 65 years into your life and then having such a radical change.
In terms of information that our viewers and our listeners can use, the symptoms that I associate with someone who's has type 1 diabetes, an increased thirst, I mean a tremendously increased thirst, urination, and often weight loss. And I was wondering, is that what you experienced? And are there any others that we should share with our viewers and listeners?
You know, I those are the classic symptoms, but I like to say that there's no classic diabetic. Mm. Every diabetic is different. You know, those are the cookie cutter. Like, yes, most of diabetics come in with those symptoms, but I personally gained weight. Mm. Like, I think I gained like 60 pounds in like 3 months, which like really affected like my knees and my back. Being really exhausted is another one. That's one that's anytime somebody's like really exhausted over the littlest things. Like for me, like going to the grocery store, like wiped me out for the day. That's usually a sign of needing to get checked, because a lot of things can cause that. I also, my vision got really blurry. That's a common one for people as well. So like I wouldn't be able to, I could make out that you had a face, but I couldn't like tell your facial features, which was great for auditions, because they were like, she's not really connecting in the scene. And I was like, well, I can't see your face. So it's really hard for me. But yeah, for me, I had the exhaustion, I had weight gain, and then I had vision changes. Those were the really, really big ones for me.
I think a lot of parents and a lot of young people who get diagnosed with type 1 think, what could I have done differently? Did I bring this on myself in some way? Could I have protected my child? And what is the answer?
I mean, I feel like the answer, no. I mean, there's so many things that go into type 1. And like I said, it's an autoimmune condition. So yeah, there's genetic markers and things like that. But, you know, and there's certain things that can flip that kind of genetic switch. But I know my mom went through that. And the reason, you know, I say no is because, yeah, there's little things. But at the end of the day, like, it's such the body attacking itself. That if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. I know my mom did that because she had gestational diabetes. And at the time, they didn't know that that increased a child's risk for type 1 and the mom's risk for type 2 later in life. And so she blames herself that she didn't know that. I'm like, but nobody knew that. Nobody told you that. Like how, you know what I mean? So I think it's, I think it's, I'm not a parent, but I can only imagine like wanting to fix it and a desire to rectify that situation that you can't rectify, unfortunately.
No, we don't know the exact cause. We have some ideas of what may trigger people to get type 1, but we don't know the exact cause, because if we did, we would solve this. All right. On that note, we are going to take a short break. When we come back, more with the actress and nurse, Jennifer Stone.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Put a finger down, healthcare edition. Put a finger down if you have ever had to change a diaper or brief. Put a finger down if you've ever been verbally assaulted by a patient. Put a finger down if you've ever been verbally assaulted by a family member. Put a finger down if you've ever been physically assaulted by a patient. Put a finger down if you have not gotten your 2 15-minute breaks.
Welcome back to Frank Buckley Interviews. That was a TikTok posted by our guest, the actress and nurse, Jennifer Stone. She's a former star on the Disney Channel program Wizards of Waverly Place. In 2013, she was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes and switched careers. Going back to school, she became an ER nurse. We just shared your video from TikTok. You have an audience of fans there. It's a place where you often post about the realities of being a nurse. Some of those realities pretty harsh, even if you talk about them in a humorous way. For those of us who don't work in healthcare, who are not nurses, what is the thing we don't get? What is it that the rest of us miss or don't understand about your new profession?
I think it, at this time in healthcare, is that we're still recovering from 2020. You know, I hear a lot of stuff about, you know, patients being frustrated because like nurses aren't maybe as patient with them, or they're tired, or the, you know, things like that. Is a lot of us have been spread thin continuously since the pandemic, and you know, we're still mentally recovering from that, as well as still fighting things like short staffing and needing the resources that we have. And you know, we never really got a break after that, you know. So it's like we had the pandemic, and then we kind of got back to whatever this new normal is, but a lot of us never really got to sit with that and process that. So we're working with that. And so I think it's just learning how to be patient with each other. Because I think just in life in general right now, like people are a little bit quicker to anger, quicker to, you know, frustration, which I can understand. I've been in a patient's shoes before. I understand that frustration. But I think it's just taking a breath and kind of thinking, having a bit more empathy of where each other's coming from, both as the nurse and the patient. Mm.
You have this unique position as an actress where you get to look in on how Hollywood portrays nursing and how it actually is, because you are a nurse. And I was just wondering, when you watch Hollywood shows, and maybe you've been in some of them where they're portraying a nurse, do you think that's not really how it is?
You know, the thing that surprised me the most, and still when I watch like shows now, is a lot of shows don't show how hands-on the nurses are. Like, you know, nurses do it all. Like, you know, and a lot of places, like, we're the phlebotomist, we're, you know, we do a little bit of everything, you know? And what amazes me is, like, you instead see the doctors on the show do that, which, don't get me wrong, like, doctors have an immense responsibility. They do so many things. But when I see them on shows like moving a patient or cleaning a patient or things like that, I'm like, okay, I don't know what's happening at like that hospital on that fictional like place. But like I've never seen that happen. I said to a doctor the other day, he helped me move a patient. I was like, that's the first time a doctor has ever helped me move a patient. Thank you. So that's something too that I'm amazed at. Especially in the ER, I'm amazed at how much it's not depicted, the hands-on nature of nurses and how much we do as far as like the continuity of care for patients. And then also too, in the ER at least, how much we're involved in the care. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like it's a collaboration between healthcare providers and all the different specialties, whether it's the respiratory therapist, the doctor, the nurse, all of these different specialties, we work together for the best interest of the patient. Mm. So that's the part that I think is missing. I think the doctors get some of the glory completely on the shows, and I think we need to spread the love a little bit more.
Absolutely. Take us into the pandemic, because you were on the front lines for that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we know what it was like, but how did it affect you as a person, as a professional, as someone who now has to still go back into the ER every day, and you still have COVID patients coming in, but it's not where it was. But how did it affect you?
I mean, I'd be lying if I said I knew exactly. I think I'm still a little too close to it to fully understand the magnitude of it. I'm definitely changed from it forever. I don't have an exact answer for you, because I'm still processing it, to be perfectly honest. You know, I'm one of those nurses that I'm still working, and I'm still, you know, doing shifts and trying to move forward with that still in me, and trying to figure out the right place to put that and how to process that. So, you know, I'm not going to give you some nice, sweet answer of how it's all whatever, like, because it's not. I'm still figuring out where to put that, because there are things that I witnessed and also too, that was right when I started. So I was still trying to learn how to be a nurse at that time. I was a baby nurse. I mean, I started March of 2020. So I was still trying to learn how to be a nurse with all that on top of it. So there are things that I saw while still trying to develop a thicker skin and develop my practice that seasoned nurses hadn't ever seen. So I'm still trying to process that. Long story short.
Yeah. Some people would wonder, you know, why you even did this. I mean, as an actress, I've been on a few sets as a, you know, playing a newscaster or a sportscaster or whatever. And as an actor on a show, you are catered to, and people are constantly taking care of you. You chose a profession which is the exact opposite, where you're taking care of everybody else in the middle of the night, doing the, you know, some of the toughest jobs. And why would you do that?
You know, I've gotten that question a few times. Like, why? Like, you know, because it's also, I mean, as much as you're catered to on set, like acting isn't an easy job. There's so much rejection and they're just like, did you just want to pick two really hard professions? And I'm like, well, you know, I love a challenge. But it's, for me, I always say that like acting's for me and nursing's what I get to do for other people, because in that 4-year period I was talking about that it took to diagnose me and treat me correctly for type 1, I got to experience the good, the bad, and the ugly of healthcare, or at least a glimpse of it. And so, you know, I had great healthcare providers and then I had not so great ones. And I wanted to understand my body better, but I also wanted to make sure that I did whatever I could, even if it was a small impact of just making sure people that in that not knowing, in that frustration middle period of getting treatment, they felt seen and heard and they felt understood, because that was something that I remember feeling the most frustrated about, is just the fact that like I felt like nobody got me or cared, or not nobody, but some of them, and the ones that did made a huge difference. And so I wanted to be able to you know, pay that forward as much as I could.
That's wonderful. Jennifer, we're going to take one more short break. And when we come back, we'll talk to Jennifer Stone about her acting and her nursing.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
And welcome back to Frank Buckley Interviews. We're in conversation with the actress and ER nurse, Jennifer Stone. Jennifer, without saying the name of the hospital that you work at, you are someone who we might encounter in an ER here in Southern California. And I was wondering, has anyone ever been wheeled in, looked up, looked at you and said, oh my God, Jennifer Stone, what are you doing here?
Yeah, it happens pretty frequently. And it always, it's so funny because I joke that I have my actor brain and my nurse brain. And like, so when I'm on shift, I'm like, no makeup, hair's back. Like, I'm very unassuming, I think, when I'm at work. But it's my voice, I think, or at least I've been told that I have a very bizarre voice. So the moment I talk, like even when I was like fully decked out in PPE, people are like, and I'm like, wait, how? Like, you can't see any part of me.
Right.
How do you like, but yeah, no, some people are like really like laser, like focused on it. But yeah, I've had a few people and sometimes in some precarious situations that have been like, aren't you from this? And I'm like, okay, let me do the shot in your butt real quick, and then we can get to that.
You know, when someone is, it is Diabetes Awareness Month, and when someone is diagnosed, especially a child with type 1, I think one of the first things they do and their parents do is look around for role models. You have become such a person. You're living with type 1 diabetes. You're succeeding as an actress, succeeding as a nurse, living a full life. And I just wonder, what is your advice to someone who may be newly diagnosed or a family going through something like that?
That means so much to me, Frank. Thank you. Because I, believe me, when I was first diagnosed, I didn't talk about it publicly because I felt like I was a terrible role model. I was like, I don't have this under control. And that to me kind of leads into what my advice would be, is the fact that right at the beginning is the hardest it will ever be. It will always be challenging. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I'm not going to say it's ever going to be easy. Diabetes will always be challenging, but the hardest it will ever be is right at the beginning when you have all these learning curves and you have all these like new skills that you have to master. But if you just focus on like one skill at a time and one day at a time and know that you will never be the perfect diabetic, it doesn't exist, and that's okay. It's the fact that you do the best that you can for each day. That's enough. And you do, and you get one day under your belt, 2 days under your belt, and just move forward one day at a time. You'll wake up one day, because this happened to me. I woke up and I was like, oh, when did I get that down? I remember when I didn't know how to do that. Like, I remember when that was so scary and so foreign to me, and all of a sudden it's just, I don't even think about it.
Yeah.
It's just a part of my day. Yeah. And that's the thing, is just to keep reminding yourself of, like, this is the hardest it will ever be is when you're first diagnosed, but it will only get easier from here. It will never be easy, but easier.
That is great advice. And I'm going to put it in my repertoire, because people ask me all the time, and I will, yeah, I will be saying that to them from now on. Jennifer, thank you for what you're doing.
Thanks, Frank.
Hope you enjoyed today's podcast. And if you're not a subscriber, I hope you'll do it today. It's free, of course, and it'll ensure that you won't miss a single episode of our podcast, which drops every week on Wednesday. You can also see our interviews on KTLA on the weekends and on YouTube. As always, thanks for sharing us on social media with your friends. Tag me when you do. I'm Frank Buckley TV on Twitter and on Instagram. Thanks for listening, and until next time, I'll see you on TV.